Good to see all of you this morning. It is a beautiful day, considering that we've had rain the last couple of days. It just kind of makes things kind of dreary when it's raining. And this time of year, they talk about it being sad for a lot of people. And I know if you've driven by my house, there's quite a few Christmas lights out. And there's Christmas lights out at other people's houses, and they talk about joy to the season and everything, and it's a beautiful time of year, and it really is. But there are a lot of people that suffer depression and things of that nature this time of year. It's a blue season for a lot of people. And have you ever heard the quote, "It is said that the darkest hour of the night comes just before the dawn"? That is darkest just before dawn, implying that it's really a dark time in someone's life. And yet people suffer a lot in this life. Like I say, this is a blue time of year for several people, for quite a few people. But there's a lot of people that suffer regardless of what time of year it is. It doesn't have to be winter time, the winter blahs or whatever. But there are people that suffer all the time in our lives. And sometimes people suffer to the point that they ask, why do good people suffer? There's a lot of people in your life that you may ask that question about. Why are they suffering? And then there are some people that may ask, why does God allow it? Why does God allow this suffering to take place? Well, you know, Jesus' life was full of his own trials. It was full of his own suffering. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 22 and verse 28, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." His trials. How many of you here have your own trials? The Hebrew writer talks about Jesus in chapter 2 and verse 18, says that, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." The radio program this morning talked about he is our glorious high priest because he has been tempted. He has suffered and makes him a better high priest for us. So that when we are tempted or when we're suffering, when we're facing our trials, we should be able to go to Jesus because he understands. He has empathy. Like I said, his life was full of trials. And it goes back to the Greek words that I'm not going to try to pronounce, but the first one means a putting to proof, experience, by implied adversity. You ever feel like the harder you try, the farther back you go in life? Take two steps forward and three steps back. Adversity in our life. Seems like we never get to accomplish what we want to accomplish. Another Greek word that goes with this base word is endeavor, scrutinize, entice, discipline. We have to discipline ourselves when we're going through these trials. And I know that's not something that we want to do, that when we're facing trials, but it's not talking about punishment. It's talking about teaching and training ourselves. We need to continue to endeavor to go to Jesus. We need to continue to endeavor to study God's Word and lean on God in times of trial. Another Greek word from that base word says that these trials are a test. In other words, an attempt or an experience, an assaying, a trial. We all face trials in our lives. Jesus was no different. But because he was able to come through his trials gives us hope of being able to come through our trials. And there's not a trial that you're going through that other people cannot understand and empathize with. Someone else has already suffered what you're suffering. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's loss of a family member, a loved one. There are others that are going through what you're going through. Christ, in his teachings, assures us of protection and victory to his faithful children in the hour of their trial. We go back to the Hebrew writer in chapter 13. And in verse 5, the Hebrew writer begins by saying, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." What a great comfort. And he says in verse 6, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" There's nothing in this life that can damage you or destroy you to the point of losing your salvation unless we allow it. But because Jesus is who he is, our helper, that is enough reason for us to not fear. Because of the assurance that he gives of protection and victory through our trials. But I want to talk to you about, first of all, there's going to be various trials, various types of trials that you and I are going to face. There's no escaping trials in this life. We're human. And things are going to happen. Sometimes bad things are going to happen. James tells us in chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." I used to have people tell me, "Oh, Jeff, you'll be glad when you get through this. You'll be stronger when you come out on the other side." I got so tired of hearing people tell me that. Help me now. It's what I wanted. Don't try to encourage me that it'll be better someday. I got a preacher friend that used to talk about troubles in the church, and he'd say, "I think I see a light at the end of the tunnel, but it may be a train." And sometimes that's the way we may view life. That I see a light at the end of the tunnel. I hope it's going to get better. And sometimes it is another train that just backs us up even more. But know this, it is testing your faith, and it will produce patience. Now, I know that's not what necessarily we want to hear, but that's what James tells us as an inspired writer. Peter tells us in chapter 1 and verse 6 of the first letter, "In this you greatly rejoice." Whatever trial it is, rejoice. And I know that's hard to accept sometimes. That when bad things are happening, that rejoicing, that's not what I want to do. But Peter says, rejoice. "Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Count it a blessing." Because as James says, it's producing faith. It's producing patience. It will help us. And on the brighter side, it will help you to be able to empathize with someone else, somewhere else down the road. I was in a conversation about Alzheimer's here a day or two ago. And I've made the comment to other people that are suffering or have someone that's suffering through Alzheimer's. And the statement that I made is that if you've never been through it with someone you love, you can't understand. You just can't. If you've never lost a parent, you can't understand. If you've never lost a spouse, I can't understand. But when you've been through those things, it helps you to empathize with others. And they may not ask for your input, but let me tell you, you need to give it. You need to offer it anyway to help them get through their various trials. And part of these trials that we're going to suffer, they're trials of suffering. We're going to suffer in this life. I think of the old country song, "I never promised you a rose garden." But even if you did get the rose garden, it's filled with thorns in itself, is it not? There is beauty, but yet there's still danger. And again, we go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 12, he tells us, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." We are all going to suffer in this life. Everyone will suffer at some point in time. And in this verse, Peter is talking about that we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested to see whether or not we can hold up under these trials of suffering. There's going to be trials that we face that are temptations. We're going to be tempted. James chapter 1 again, he talked about this. And Peter talks about that we're sojourners in this land. We're just here for a temporary time. We have greater hopes, aspirations, if you will, of a home after this. Brethren, all we've got to do is get through this world. All we've got to do is struggle and get through this world with each other. There are going to be trials that we face that are based on physical illness or ailments. Let me tell you something. The older you get, the more you know about those physical ailments. Your knees hurt, feet hurt, back hurts. It happens. It's inevitable. And Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. He says, "And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." Paul says, my physical ailment was so much that you were willing to go. Look at the sacrifice, he says, they were willing to make. But you know, when we have those ailments, we need to trust God and take the treatments that are necessary. You know, I had a sermon here not too awful long ago that talked about a free medicine, if you will. That if it was free, would we take it? Well, it was talking about salvation. But this world is filled with doctors and nurses, and we pray for their knowledge and their being able to use what they need, for taking their knowledge and making the best use of it, especially when it's us. I had gallbladder surgery a few years back, and the doctor, before he had surgery, he come in and he says, "Do you mind if I pray?" I said, "You pray all you want, buddy." So he prayed for me, and I greatly appreciated that. But when I went back for the follow-up, I asked him, I said, "Can I offer some criticism?" He goes, "About what?" I said, "About your prayer." He says, "Well, sure." I said, "Next time you're going to operate on me," I said, "I appreciate you praying for my health and my recovery." I said, "But pray that you've not made the nurses mad, that you have the best attitude that day. Pray that they're not mad at you and that you're not mad at them. Pray that everything that is in your control and in your power is the best that it can be that day." And shouldn't we always do that? Pray that the doctors will use the best tools, the best knowledge that they have. But we need to treat everything that we have, every ailment that we have, because God gives these doctors and nurses these abilities, this knowledge and the tools to do what is necessary. How many times do we go to the doctor and he says, "Well, now you need to take this medicine to take care of this problem"? What do you say? "No, I ain't doing that." Why would you do that? That's like Jesus saying, "I'm offering salvation, but you have to be baptized." "Well, no, I'm not doing that." God tells us to trust Him. And God has given this ability to these doctors and nurses and other people in the medical field. Why would we not trust them? Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 in verse 23, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities." Now, I'm not going to look at this from the aspect of it being wine, but look at it from this point. Paul was an inspired writer. That's God's Holy Spirit telling Paul to tell Timothy this. Take your medicine. Take your medicine. trust God. When you are given medicine or some treatment that your doctor says this is for your benefit, trust Him. God has given them this ability. Trust in God. But we're going to be faced with other trials as well, trials of persecution. We're not going to be faced with what they went through in the first century, but we will be faced with persecutions. In Acts 20, verses 19 and 20, we need to look at Paul's life there as he's talking to the Ephesian elders, that we need to remain humble and at the same time remain zealous, on fire, and still have courage. But we're also going to face trials of judgment. We talked about judging this morning, evaluating sin in our lives as well as other people's lives. People of the world are going to fail this test. And while the faithful are going to be rewarded. In Revelation 3, beginning in verse 11, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him in the name of my God, in the name of my city, my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write my name on write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." We're going to face trials of judgment. There are going to be people that come up to you. Oh, you're one of those Church of Christers, right? Y'all one of those that don't believe in the piano. You're one of those that believe you have to be wet in order to receive salvation. There are going to be people that make fun of you because of your belief, because of your faith. It's going to happen. If it hasn't happened already. A second thing we want to talk about is not only the various types of trials that we're going to face, but what are the effects and purposes of these trials? Why do they happen? And is there a specific thing that God may be trying to accomplish in allowing us to suffer these trials? I mean, when you think about these trials, the effects that they have is that they grieve us. They grieve us, don't they? They cause us to have grief in our life when we lose someone, when we're suffering with some health ailment or illness. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice." Remember, we just read this a moment ago. "Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." The New American Standard says, "distressed by various trials." What Peter here is talking about is that some trials are going to produce a heaviness in your life, a sorrow in your life. And these trials, another effect that they're going to have on us is that they may frighten us. They may scare us. Again, we go back to Peter, and he says in 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 13, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." And notice the last line here, "Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Nor be troubled. Paul would write to the brethren at Philippi, chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. We're going to notice verse 28 first. He says, "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God." Now see here, again we go, I don't know about you, but when bad things happen in my life, I don't want people telling me that I'm going to be stronger on the other side. It the human nature side of me, it doesn't make sense that I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be better because I've been through these trials. But that's what God's Word tells us, is it not? Now we go back to verse 27 and he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. They're going to frighten us. And some of these trials, again, it goes back to, if you've been through it, you can have empathy, sympathy with someone else. The empathy part means you understand what someone is going through. To sympathize is something different than empathy. Empathy is because you know what it's like to go through that particular trial. And when we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to help one another to get through these trials, I hate to say it, but we will be stronger on the other side. Because it's the truth. When you persevere through your trials, because of your brothers and sisters in Christ, because of Christ Himself being the high priest that He is, you will be stronger on the other side. But there may be a purpose to these trials in that they train us. They train us. They discipline or teach us. The Hebrew writer talks about this in chapter 12, and it may be painful sometimes for these trials that we go through. But Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9, that it is for greater faith in God's grace that we may suffer these trials. How many of us need God's grace on a daily basis? He would go on in that chapter in the very next verse in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 10 and tell us that it's for greater strength to help us to endure. The stronger we are when we face these trials, the more easy it is for us to get through these trials. And partly that's why we need each other. We need to train ourselves to trust our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to train or discipline ourselves to trust in God. But also there may be another reason for these trials. They purify us. Peter speaks to this in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. The Hebrew writer talks about in chapter 12 and verse 11 that they help us to bear peaceable fruit of righteousness. They help us to bear fruit, being productive children of God. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verses 15 and 16, they help us to glorify God. So many times when trials hit in our lives, have you ever seen someone turn away from God because of something bad in their life? I know of someone when I was younger that lost their father, and they blamed God for taking their daddy. God didn't do that. And that's the devil prompting them to make that accusation. You and I know better. God doesn't do that, but these things can happen so that we can glorify God in our faith. And again, we go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And these trials in purifying us can lead us to heaven. You know, in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it talks about that great cloud of witnesses, which leads back to chapter 11, Faith's Hall of Fame. All those people and their faith, their examples of faith, and you could, I believe that you could put the people in your life that have gone before you with their faith, that have helped to clear the stumbling blocks out of your path. You can look to those people as your great cloud of witnesses to help make your path in this life a little bit easier. But now, let's ask this question. What are we to do when these trials do come into our lives? Well, Peter's already told us not to think it's strange when they happen. When something bad happens in our life, it's not something new. There are others that have been through what you're going through or about to go through. It's not something unique only to you. God's people throughout history have had trials. Always. We go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, and Paul tells Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. You're going to suffer. If you live in this life and you're following Christ, you're going to suffer at some point. You're going to face trials in your life at some point. It's going to happen. The question is, how are you going to deal with it? You going to turn your back on the Lord? You going to rely on Christ to help you get through this, to strengthen you? You going to rely on your brothers and sisters in Christ who can empathize at times because they've been through it? You just going to throw your hands up and quit? Well, you can't do that either. Why not take the best road, the best option that you as a child of God have, and trust in Jesus? What are we to do? Well, we can rejoice to partake in the sufferings of Christ. That's what Peter talks about again. And another thing, don't be ashamed when they happen. Don't be ashamed, but continue to remain faithful. It may be a test of your faith, but never give up. Never give up. Never lose your faith in God. So when things happen, when these trials come, commit your life to God. Be even stronger in your devotion to God. Make your prayer life even stronger than it was before. God will be there for you. He is always there. You know, there are people in this world that ask the question, well, where's God when I need Him? He's not there during my time of trial. I don't see God in my life. I'm reminded of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Israel talked there, and I'll paraphrase, that they didn't see God in their lives. Things were going bad, were about to go bad, and I don't see you, Lord. Where are you? You've left us. God's never left us. In those two verses, it talks about God telling the people of Israel through Isaiah that I've always been here. You have turned your back on me. When things go bad, that's when we need to embrace God. Don't turn your back on the Lord. Embrace Him even harder. Squeeze even harder. Strain even harder to have the Lord in your life. You remember when Jesus prayed in the garden in Matthew 26 and verse 41? And as He prayed, He finished praying and He went back and checked on His disciples and they were asleep. You remember that? You remember what He told them? He says, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And that's our problem. We can say that we trust in the Lord, but when a trial hits, I give up. Our flesh is weak. What Jesus said to them, we need to take to heart. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. When things go bad in our life, and they most certainly will, watch and pray. Be alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. Again, we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2. Verses 19 through 21. And Peter tells us here that we need to endure the grief, the trials, and trust God that He will judge righteously those who may afflict you. The trials that come into your life, trust God to take care of you. I'm afraid that a lot of people in this world look at God as the emergency breaker on the wall. That I only want God when I need God and I want to break the glass and pull the handle. Lord, I need you now. Lord, I need you all the time. Even when things are good. But especially when things are not. endure the grief and trust in God. And again, we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. When trials come, accept that trial as a moment in your life to purify your faith and to look to your heavenly Father and to look to that reward of heaven. Accept it. It's going to happen. Well, no, it can't happen to me. Stuff like this just don't happen to me. Yes, it will happen to you. You may have gone through life so far and think yourself very lucky if you've never suffered any trials. But you will. You will. You see, trials and tribulations are going to come into every life. And they're going to trouble our souls. But the eyes of faith, we can look beyond that moment of trial, that moment of grief, to eternity. That eternal day, and glorify the name of God. In John chapter 12, Jesus says in verse 27, "For now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." He's about to suffer the greatest trial, the greatest tragedy that any man could ever suffer. And what was his statement? "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Faith overcomes the world and its trials. We're all going to face trials. You may be facing trials this very day, right now, while you're listening to this lesson. And I know some of you are facing trials. And this lesson is designed to encourage you not to give up. Don't throw your hands up and say, "I just quit." Because the alternative for quitting is unacceptable. We can't quit. We have to press forward. Because our sight is set on heaven. And if I throw my hands up when trials come, then I've given up on heaven. And I, for one, am not going to let you do that. I'm not going to let you throw your hands up. I'm not going to let you quit. I'm not going to let you surrender. One final passage and the lesson will be yours. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, the trials in your life, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Don't give up. Never give up. Trust in the Lord. But you know, that trust in the Lord begins by being His child. You have to be His child in order to receive these blessings and to help you get through these trials in life, this turmoil that's in your life. Being a child of God is the first step in making it easier. If you're someone out in the world, you don't get it. You don't understand what we're talking about. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, you can do that now. You can begin to face your trials with a better sense of hope. A better sense of hope. It may be that you've given up on life because of trials in your life. You need to come back. You need to come back to Christ this very hour, right now at this moment. Because without Christ, it just makes life so much more difficult. If you're here this morning, maybe you're going through those trials right now. And maybe you need the prayers of the saints. You don't have to tell us what those trials are, but that you need prayers because of those trials. And we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. What a great blessing to have as a child of God. If you find yourself in need of responding this morning, I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand.